Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, well, wow. It's the news, according to me. What's so funny? I just said it. It's the news according to me. There we go. Yeah. Good morning. It is April 22nd, Silliness Day, here at the home studio. I came into the studio. It's down in the basement. We've got a walkout finished basement thing here. And, I built this booth down here because I have a sound booth down here. I'm trying to, you know, make it as exact in terms of sound as my studio at the professional offices. The dedicated offices of the News According to Me studio. I got something wrong with my throat this morning. I don't know if you can tell. Got like a frog in there. Only it's like a toad. It's more like a toad than a frog, really. Maybe more like a jackalope. I don't know. Or a armadillo. Might as well be. I don't know if anybody that's ever had a frog in their throat, actually a frog in their throat. Other than when they're eating frog legs or something. Well, you're eating one, maybe. But not, like, living in there. So the, we have a lot of stuff going on here at the studio. And also in the world. We'll get around to that. But first, you know, first we've got to cover some ground here. I came down here to the booth to realize that apparently aliens attacked in the middle of the night. Because a lot of the foam cushions that I had up are now on the floor. And I'm looking around to see if there's anything else that happened. Most of the... I see that my keyboard has been messed with as well. And I've come to the conclusion. There's... And we have this cat that now has found it fun to run all over the studio here and crawl up the walls. Because the walls are this, I have like a rubber, it's a thick foam, it's like a 4-inch thick foam rubber. It's like, it's a, I don't even know how to describe it, what kind of material it is. It's, the stuff is just about indestructible. And it's in this sheet of about 4 feet. I think it's almost 5 feet. 5 feet by 7 feet, I believe. And I've got, you know, a bunch of these panels up, and I use that for the roof as well, for the ceiling as well. So it's like a booth made out of this stuff. And then on the inside, because it's kind of echoey, just by itself, actually sound bounces around in here. It keeps sound from coming into the room pretty well. But it doesn't help the sound inside here. So I have these little 12-inch by 12-inch, or for those of you who are metric, I guess it's like, what is that, 15 centimeters? Or point 3 meters, or whatever it is. I don't know. Millimeters. I could go by millimeters. I don't have my little thing that comes up and gives me calculations real quick. No, that's not what I wanted. Cancel that. Oh, here I am going off and... Yeah, that's not what I wanted either. All right. Enough of that. I'm drinking hot chocolate. I'm not drinking hot chocolate. I'm drinking cold chocolate milk this morning. Cold. From a brown cow. And I also have some water here. I'm not drinking the typical hot chocolate or the sweet tea, hot tea, iced tea, any kind of tea today. Not happening. So I got all these panels down here, And I'm trying to figure out what happened. I guess my cat has decided that this is a fun place to play at night. I was kind of wondering where he went because at night he tends to disappear. He used to sleep on the bed all the time and run around and get in my face all night long. And I've been sleeping pretty well because the cat hasn't been bothering me. The trade-off is I come down to this. So apparently, now I have locked the cat out of the basement right now. He cannot, at least in this room, he can't come into the main room here in the basement. The main room kind of has, it's like a big main room thing. There's like two bedrooms and a bathroom, and then there's like this main room, and then it kind of L's around into this other section that I kind of use as my little hobby area here in the house. I have several hobby areas around the house. And this particular area is where I built the sound booth. And then there's also like a utility room back the other side of that thing over there. Now you have the entire floor plan layout here of the home studio. That's important. It's important that you get that information because as I'm sharing with you information about what's going on in the world, you need to have an understanding of where my perspective is. As I'm sitting here, my chair is facing to the north. So there you go. And before me, I have a 27-inch iMac with I think it's a 30-inch television as a screen, second screen. I believe it's 30 inches. Could be 28. I don't know. It's close. I don't know. Who cares? Well, you care. That's why you're tuned in. Otherwise, you wouldn't tune in. If you didn't know, you wouldn't. You know, my people, you're one of my people. You have to know. Well, so this, you know, we talked about the George Floyd thing yesterday a little bit. And I don't want to weigh in too far on that because I have the feeling this thing's going to go up for appeal. There's still, you know, here's the issue we're getting into now. And this is why you can sell out a moment of peace, you know, can sell out your principles for a moment of peace. And we have, you know, from the White House, we have, you know, at least we don't have any mean tweets. But the placating and the rhetoric, it's this almost passive aggressive style leadership we have right now. That, in my opinion, is more dangerous than anything I've seen in my lifetime. Now, again, this gets back to, you know, listening to certain people talk. Now, Attorney General Garland was out again in all of his glory. Yesterday, I believe it was, last couple of days. He's been making some statements and been interviewed by some people. And again, when I hear this man speak, I don't know how to explain this. All I can say is my skin crawls. I don't know how to explain it. It's one of those things where when he speaks, and I don't know that I've ever had quite this much of a reaction to the way someone speaks. Now there's been a couple people in time that I remember. There was somebody. Well, Hillary Clinton is one I can't stand to listen, but she's just harsh. Her speech is harsh, as well as, you know, like Ilhan Omar. She's very bitter, hateful. And is a chronic liar. Now, AOC is just not intelligent. Okay, she's just, and I'm not saying she doesn't have a high IQ. She may actually be very smart in terms of her IQ. She's very uninformed or misinformed. and is a puppet of somebody. It's weird that she, when she speaks the way she speaks and the speeches she reads, just the stuff isn't her ideas. She's coming up with ideas from someone else, or she's coming up with the, she's just, it's like she sits around talking to herself and she comes up with these stupid ideas. Principles that are based on nothing. You know, there's, I'm going to get scriptural for a moment. There's a verse where Yeshua is basically rebuking the teachers of the time, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's basically saying, you teach, precept on precept, line upon line. Now, what he's saying there is, I believe that he was actually quoting scripture from the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the Torah. He's talking about, or he might have been quoting one of the prophets, actually. And so this whole thing, if you get back to the original text, it was a rebuke. Precept on precept, line upon line. And what it really means is you take a precept that is built on truth. Now, this is kind of like, I had kind of this picture one day. I was driving down the road and I saw like a bunch of trees off to the, it wasn't really a, woods. It wasn't really a forest. It was an area with a bunch of trees. But it, I couldn't see the forest because there was too many trees in the way. No, it wasn't quite like that. It was like these trees were scattered out all over the place, and it was at the point where it wasn't really, I wouldn't call it a woods. I would call it a wooded grassland, because there was just a lot of trees, but it wasn't enough trees to really cover the ground that they were growing on. But it's just a bunch of trees out there. So it was kind of a farmland. It was kind of like it was just farmland that had been just kind of let go. And like the tree line that was there, like the fence row, whatever, that had some trees growing on it, was kind of starting to take over the field again or whatever. It was like there were some small trees growing up. And the thing that came to me was that you rarely see, now this does happen in nature occasionally, but you rarely see a tree growing out of another tree. At least if it's a healthy tree. I mean, a tree that dies and falls down, you'll see, sometimes you'll see another tree growing out of that, out of the mulch that it creates, the whatever. But you don't see, typically most trees are rooted in the earth, in ground. And at least ones that can survive for very long. And they grow up and they have, they say that the root structure is almost as big as what you see outside of the tree. In other words, what you see, the great big huge tree that's got all kinds of limbs and outstretched, stretches out all over the place. That they say that the root structure is almost as much as what you see above the ground, typically. Now, it may be very fine roots, and it may not be as large of limbs, and the roots may not be as pronounced, but they actually can sometimes stretch further and possibly as much mass or as much material as there is above the ground. Pretty amazing stuff. So now so you have that. Now what that picture that I saw of these trees kind of reminded me of that scripture, and I thought, precept upon precept. When you have a precept that's grounded in truth. In other words, the truth of the word is kind of like the earth itself. That truth stands alone on its own. It doesn't have to have something else propping it up. It doesn't have another principle by which it is truth at its very core is its own standalone truth. Now, from there, from that truth, you can extrapolate, you can dig down deeper, you can get more out of that, you can apply that truth to other things in that respect, but you can't build on that truth with other truth. In other words, you can't take that principle, that precept, if you will, and build another precept on top of it. Every precept should be able to stand on its own, grounded in truth. And when you start to, in other words, and this gets back to the whole foundational thing, the foundation of what we build on needs to be built on solid ground. You have to dig, I think this is even in Scripture as well. You have to dig down and lay a foundation. And then you build on that foundation and you build it up from there. It's much more stable than something that's just built on top of the earth or the sand or whatever you're going to build it on. Because it shifts, that moves. And what I'm finding today is that we have a generation, for example, Sandy Cortez, that has all of these underlying precepts, ideals, ideologies, concepts. And from them, they are constantly just kind of spewing out stuff around those ideas, trying to make sense of themselves. And it's all speculation, conjecture, theory, ideas that are based on ideas that are not grounded in any kind of fact or truth. And it's very easy to talk around those things. Because you can just sit there in your little world and kind of imagine how things can possibly be, how they can be more utopian. If we just spent $80 trillion, we would have a perfect world for the children. And that's kind of where we go with this stuff. And it's when we have people coming out and making stupid comments. I don't even like using the word stupid. I really don't, because it's kind of a cop-out word. But it really has application here, because I could say ignorant, which is, people take that as a bad word, as in terms of like, oh, you're calling someone ignorant like they're stupid. Well, they're kind of two different things, but they're kind of the same thing. Being ignorant means you're simply not informed. I am ignorant of the French language. I'm ignorant of many things. Chemistry, for one, I'm kind of ignorant about a lot of chemistry principles. And, you know, like Fauci, he's ignorant of virology, apparently. Doesn't understand what the word science means, I don't think. I'm not sure he's understanding anything other than, hey, look, like I get to be on TV. Oh, I get to throw the ball out at the game. Ball goes flying. He doesn't care. He missed the plate by like 10 feet, folks. It just went flying off somewhere.
Well, I had an injury from practicing the day before.
Yeah, I used to use that excuse when I was 3 years old too. Oh, my hand, sun got in my eyes. Oh, my hand hurts. That's why I dropped the ball. Yeah. Then I grew up. Said, yeah, I blew it. Sorry. My bad. Chocolate milk. So we have this generation that's been built on all these stupid ideas. In the words of Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. When you do stupid things, that's You are living in the stupidity realm. Not saying you're stupid, I'm just saying you're living out stupidity. Because you're doing. Stupid is a stupid do. So we have this situation in Ohio now. Now that we've got the George Floyd thing done. Now every time, now see, and this is where this really frustrates me. If I was a police officer right now, I'm going to tell you how I would act, and I'm not saying it's the right way to act. I'm just telling you how I would feel like what I would feel like. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So we have this situation in Ohio where a cop shows up on the scene, just walks up on the scene. And I mean, this guy needs to be congratulated. As far as I'm concerned, this guy is a rock star as a police officer. Walks up on this, I would have been, if I would have walked up on this scene, I would have been so confused by what was going on. Now, maybe he understood better what was going on than I realize. But just looking at the body cam footage that has been put out, I would have been looking around like, what did I just walk into? As this young girl would have been getting stabbed to death. Now, here the tough part about this is, and this has happened before, is when you walk up on a scene, you don't know who the good guys and who the bad guys are. It's tough to make judgment calls in the midst of something. Now, you see someone about to stab someone else and you pull out a gun and you shoot them. Someone's running around with a knife making threats. Someone gets knocked down in front of you because there's a fight breaking out. And then you see over on the other side, you see this woman about to stab someone else who's unarmed, standing there, not even seeing really what's coming at her. And you make the decision to go ahead and do a lead injection. I mean, it's not time for tasers. It's not time for what's the problem. It's time for I got to stop that woman before she stabs the other woman. The woman who took up the knife and went to stab made her decision, knowing full well there was a cop there on the scene. She, at that moment, when she decided to try to take someone else's life, she decided to put her life in her own hands. And she lost it. And I believe the cop was fully justified and right within his authority to do what he did with the information he had in the scene that he was protecting another life, which apparently is not something that matters. Wasn't like the other person was lighter skin color. Now, and here's the problem when you roll up on a situation like that. And this is what has happened. I was going to get to this. There's been situations where cops have rolled up on a scene and there's a man with a gun and they shoot the guy with the gun. And they find out that the guy with the gun was the good guy holding the criminal or about to shoot the criminal who was threatening everybody else with a knife or threatening. That can happen. Because there's, you know, the fog of war, the confusion of what's going on. And that's simply an accidental tragedy. That's what that is. That's not an intentional thing. The cop, you know, had limited knowledge. It was an accident. It was a misread of the situation. Now, what you'd have to understand here is the news media continues with this narrative. In fact, Brandon Tatum, kudos to you, sir. He was being interviewed, I believe, by BBC or Sky News England, British Sky News. I think it was BBC. They had him on. He was wearing his glasses because he looks very studious and looks very scholarly. It's a good look for him. And he's in there. Excuse me. And they're interviewing him, and they say, well, you know, police are killing black people at an alarming rate, a much, much higher rate. I wish they would have been talking to Larry Elder, actually, at that moment. Now Brandon did an awesome job. Don't get me wrong. I just know that Larry Elder, he has numbers and statistics memorized to the point he literally fillets people when they make a statement, stupid statement like that. And by stupid, I mean uninformed, ill-informed, parroting everything that they've heard everybody else say. Because, and Brandon didn't let him get away with it. It's not true. Basically, he said, that's not true. Blacks make up, it's depending on how you define black, African-American, people of color, make up about 15 to 16% of the population, but commit almost 50% of the crime. That's the fact. That's a sad fact I don't like. Now you can say, and here's what happens. This is what happens when you make that statement. You'll say, well, it's because white people aren't convicted of crimes that they commit. They commit more crime. We're just not being told about it. Cops just don't go after them. The system is slanted towards arresting black people. Okay. Yeah, okay. It really, and what's really sad about this is it has nothing to do with skin color. Just because your skin is darker than mine doesn't mean you have to make some kind of choices that are worse, that are somehow really, we've gotten away from this idea of personal responsibility, individual responsibility for the actions and the choices that you make. And we've now gone to, well, I'm a part of this group and this group's been oppressed. And therefore, we have no other recourse except to commit crime and to do these things because racism, systemic, it's systemic. I'm blaming the white man for the choices I'm making. That doesn't fly with me. And I'm getting sick of it, frankly. That's what's frustrating me the most about this whole thing. I see people making choices and decisions for their lives based on what people tell them. And people tell them the way they're supposed to think and the way they're supposed to vote and the way they're supposed to act. And the reasons that they're doing the things that they're doing, they're excused for doing the things that they're doing. That looting is okay because that's a form of reparations. These are things coming out of people's mouths. And I'm sick of it, folks. Here's the thing: it's literally turning me against the community. My opinions and it's very hard for me to keep in check my frustration with this whole thing. Which is the most frustrating part of it, because I don't like to be that person. But I'm really sick of what I'm seeing. Because this isn't about truth and justice in any means. This is about vengeance. And it's misplaced vengeance. Which is not justice at all. It's just pathetic. So Brandon was on this show and he was talking about how it wasn't true. What this guy was saying wasn't true. And the guy just, like, he didn't realize what he was getting himself into, I don't think. Because the guy had kind of a shocked look on his face when this guy told him basically that, you know, when Brandon told him he wasn't, well, you're wrong. I don't think he expected that. And here's a little known fact. Now, Brandon didn't say this, but here's a little known fact. In 2021, this is very recent statistics. I'm sorry, 2020. In 2020, I think this is in 2020. Maybe it's just this year. I don't know. 2020. I think it's 2020. Maybe it's just the last 12 months. I don't know. I just know it was a year of span. Or else it was year to date, maybe. I don't know. But this is the statistic, and it's relevant regardless of what the time span was or when it was. But it's very recent. of police shootings, 280 police shootings, of the last 280 police shootings that are on record. How many of those do you think were black people? You know, according to the news, they would say, oh, probably 270 of them. They never shoot any white people. Well, no, the news just never blows it up. It never becomes national, international news when a white person is shot. That's why you never hear about it. That's why the narrative has made it seem like black people are getting shot every half an hour. And that was even a statement that somebody made. It hasn't even been an hour. Now they've shot some girl in Ohio, so we're going to riot again. Before they even knew anything about what happened. Because the news media, all they put out was, police kill unarmed 16-year-old girl, black girl, in Columbus, Ohio. Then the rumors fly around that, well, she dropped the knife when the cop showed up. No, she dropped the knife after she was shot. She was in mid-swing. The knife was about to go into the stomach or the leg, the lower abdomen area of this other girl, and the cop shot her. And the only way that they could avert some of these, well, of course, they still rioted. They backed them down a little bit by showing the body cam footage. If you even mention due process now, you get fired for that. Police commissioner in, was it Illinois? Wherever the one lady who made the mistake of using her gun instead of the taser, which was just a stupid bonehead move. She will never live that down. And the police commissioner, who's black, came out and said, well, we have to go through due process. He was asked to resign for saying that. Due process is something we all have a right to. Because they can't take away anything from you without due process. If we're going to eliminate that, then the Constitution doesn't exist anymore. We just have a mob that is ruling everything out of fear. Well, we don't want our city to burn, so we better just let them have it. Now, and this gets down to kind of the way I feel about if I was a cop right now. A lot of good police officers are leaving the force now. People are taking early retirement. The guys that are experienced, the guys who knows what's going on, they're leaving. I don't blame them. You do your job. You do what you were trained to do. And you're under threat of criminal prosecution. I'm not saying Siobhan was making good decisions there either. I'm not saying that. But what they're threatening now is they were calling for this guy in Ohio, in Columbus. You know, when LeBron James, I think is that his name? LeBron, whatever. The basketball guy. I don't pay attention to basketball. Because I'm not any good at it. I gave up on that because I was so short. I was too short to play. And I sucked at it, so I just didn't do it. Tried to do it in junior high. It just wasn't working out. Again, because I'm a runt. Well, I was a runt because I was so young in my class. So LeBron tweets out, I guess, if like anybody listens to Twitter anymore. He tweets out that a picture of this guy. I'm surprised he didn't dox him. Tweets out his picture and says, "You're next." Now, what exactly is that supposed to mean? You're next. In other words, we're coming after you. That's kind of a creepy, weird thing to say. The guy's a hero. Let's talk to the woman whose life he possibly saved. In a moment that I would have hesitated, just seeing what I saw in that video, I would have been like, who do I shoot first? I don't know. I would have just, you know, got back in my car and went back to the donut shop. So they start protesting in the street about this thing. And they're this is the night after this happened, and they're out protesting in the street. One of the things they're chanting. There's like a police line, a bunch of police there to try to make sure that there's, you know, no more rioting going on. And they're confronting these police officers and they're saying all kinds of things to them. But the one thing this guy's they're chanting. Of course, they always have one guy say something and the rest of the crowd mimics them. You know, because that's, you know. That always ends well. And let's back up for a moment. In general, see, I was asking the question before, what really is accomplished through the protesting? When has there really been a protest that has really accomplished anything? Now, You can deceive yourself into thinking that it has, because now, like what has happened recently with this George Floyd thing is that they believe that the violent protests actually paid off. They were rewarded because they got a guilty verdict on all three charges, because the people from that community who were on the jury didn't want their city to burn, so they decided just to convict him. We got to let this guy go down because we don't want the city to burn. We don't want to see anybody else killed, which is what would happen. More innocent lives would be killed. If they would have acquitted him, I guarantee you someone else would be dead today because of it. And that's when you have an unruly mob doing what they're doing. And that's who's governing us now. Because nobody will stand up to this. I don't know if you know the meaning of the word feckless. It's an interesting word. It pretty much means powerless or... well, let's look it up. Meaning of the word feckless. Lacking initiative or strength of character, comma, irresponsible. Weak, ineffective, irresponsible, worthless. A feckless maneuver that could only serve to strengthen the enemy. Feckless attempts to repair the plumbing. There you go. That's a good one. Ineffective or irresponsible. That would be a good, I guess our leaders right now would be feckless. Ineffective and irresponsible. I think that word just pretty much fits a lot of the people who right now are in charge. And so they're out there yelling at the cops. And one of the things that they were saying is, they were kind of chanting unto themselves there for a little while. And they said, they shoot us. They shoot us. We shoot them. We shoot them. Then he started pointing at the police officers who were there kind of in a line and kind of around the area. And he said, you shoot us. You shoot us. We shoot you. We shoot you. That's not exactly anything I've ever heard in Sunday school. If they think it's going to resort to this, now, this is, again, where does this end? At what point do you think that crowd, those people chanting those words, are going to lay down their animosity and their bitterness? At what point is that going to happen? What is it going to take for them to say, it's over? We've accomplished what we've come to accomplish. I don't think this is going to end well if we continue to ramp up that kind of rhetoric. And again, until the church stops being feckless and starts rising up to confront the precepts that they've built upon precepts, the lies that they've bought into. I've heard, even on CBN, early on, I heard the son of the founder talk about some of these cases and was just going right along with what the media was saying. And it's disheartening, it's irresponsible and ineffective. Lacking initiative or strength of character. Because the church needs to start holding people accountable to the principle of forgiveness. Simple word. Sounds almost too easy. Don't worry. God has promised us that vengeance is His and He will repay. Maybe you won't see it on this side. Of the river. But I guarantee you, He will have the final word. And rather than wishing vengeance on your enemies, maybe you should hope for their repentance and salvation. Now, I understand at least to some degree, the depravity of my own life. How selfish I am. How much I deserve eternal punishment left on my own. My only hope is not in my own goodness, not anything I've done. It's what He did on the cross. It's the only hope I have. not in any ability I have, not in anything I have done for anyone else. It's just that's the only hope I have in salvation is what he did on the cross. I can't add anything to that. And I can't expect that God owes me anything more than that. He didn't owe me that. And we can't continue to go forward thinking that somehow we're going to that our cause is entitled, or that we're going to somehow dish out God's vengeance and wrath and judgment on, because we're somehow righteous enough to be that agent. So, if I was a police officer today, here's how I would be feeling. I'm not saying this is how I would work or that I would manifest this in the job that I do. But I would feel like you know what? If I show up on scene and there's a black person there committing a crime or doing something or whatever they're doing, I'm just going to get back in my car and walk away. That's how I'd feel. I wouldn't want to deal with it. I don't want to be on national news. I don't want to be doxxed. I don't want to have people standing out in front of my house, picketing, throwing rocks and bottles and chanting because I did my job. I don't want to see my city burn just because of that. Okay, you guys want to act like animals? Go ahead and act like an animal. I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't know what else to do. You know, you get called into a situation. Now, keep in mind, this officer was called to the scene by a person of color to a home dwelling that is being attacked basically by another. I don't know what all the circumstances were there. Apparently he had more information than I do. Which again gets down to an issue of they shouldn't have to release the body cam footage to placate everybody, to stop the riots, to pacify the crowd. They shouldn't have to do that. The culture is so supercharged right now that they simply want to assume that they're going to be the judge, jury, and executioner now. And if you shoot at us, we're going to shoot at you. Now, that means any of them. He wasn't talking about them right there in the moment. Now, sure, if I'm standing out there and I'm just minding my own business and a cop shoots at me, if I think I'm probably going to be killed, I'm shooting back. And in Indiana, guess what? That's legal. Cop breaks into your house illegally. If they haven't done due process to break into your house in the middle of the night and you shoot them, you're not held liable for that. Because we have some good laws here in Indiana. Now, if they show a warrant and they try to come in and you won't let them in and you start fighting back, that's a whole other story. Now you're the one. They've done due process. Now you're in trouble. which is the way it should be. So, I think that officers are being put in a very difficult situation right now in many parts of our country, not everywhere. And I still have this urge. I drive by the county sheriff building every day, almost every day when I'm home and I'm working, going back and forth to my studio. And I have to say, there I am so compelled to just walk in and just tell them, you know, I'm not going to tell you who I am. It doesn't matter who I am. I just want you to know that whatever happens, I have your back. I respect you. I respect the institution. And I respect due process. And I appreciate the job they do every day. And we really do have a very good county sheriff department here. It's been the previous county sheriff was really good. And he's left a legacy, I think, that's going to be passed down now for a while. But he certainly was not feckless. So, it's been kind of a serious and heavy show this morning, but I hope that somehow in my muddling around, I've somehow found a way to touch on some truth maybe that means something to you. Because the rhetoric has been ramped up, and I see no good coming of this in the direction that we're heading right now. As I have said before, the, quote, victory, end quote, that we have that they've achieved, that we've seen, the victory for justice, and now they're saying we've just begun. We need to do more. We're just getting started. Has emboldened them. And it would have gone, either way this would have gone, it would have been bad. Now they feel that they have momentum and they have a roadmap now. When anybody ever gets hurt, shot, killed, whatever happens. I mean, now they feel like they have immunity. Can't touch me. Touch me and I'm going to, you know, throw a fit, going to go on national news, going to be, and that's why I guess as an officer, if I was an officer, I would basically say, okay, I'll let you go ahead and do what you're going to do. As long as you don't touch my family, because I'm going to protect them. Sad. It's just sad. It will not end well. So I feel for the officers that are out there today trying to do their job and wondering if, you know, what's going to happen next. 280 people shot by police officers, 30 of them black. Quite a contrast. Once again, I sigh at the end of my broadcast of my show, and kind of heavy, I know. I'd really like to get some thoughts from some of you who listen to this broadcast. If you get a chance, you can get online. You can text the show at 574-742-6748, and I will soon have an email. If you go to the actual place where this podcast is posted, you can subscribe there, or if you subscribe from iTunes, there should be a description, and in the description I usually put the phone number there. You can call or text your comments and your thoughts. I'd like to hear them. And it's hard to believe that nobody has. Either it's not working, or some people have done it. But I'll be here this afternoon. Everybody, have a great day. God bless, and keep looking up.